Support for MPB comes from the Mississippi Museum of Art in Jackson. What Became of Dr. Smith by artist Noah Satterstrom is on view beginning April 20th. Learn more at msmuseumart.org.
This podcast is a local production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting and depends on the support of listeners like you. If you can, please donate today at mpbonline.org. And thanks.
Welcome to the Mississippi Arts Hour on MPB Think Radio, where each week we talk to a musician, artist, author, or other creative Mississippian working in the arts across the state. I'm your host, Melody Moody Thortis, Director of Grants at the Mississippi Arts Commission. And on today's show, I'm speaking with Sabrina Wright, Executive Director of the Greater Jackson Arts Council. Sabrina, thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you so much, Melanie, for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm so excited for our listeners to learn more about you. So before we learn who you are and how you got to the Greater Jackson Arts Council, I would like for you to kind of explain who the Greater Jackson Arts Council is to our listeners so that they have an understanding for the organization that you now run. So if you want to just give us a quick overview about that.
Sure. Well, I am excited to be a part of this great organization. The Greater Jackson Arts Council has been around in the city of Jackson, servicing Jackson and Hinds County since 1981. So that's about 39 years. And so almost 40 years. Actually, we're getting ready to celebrate our 40th year this year. So in October, we're planning a big shebang. So we're excited about that. One of some of the things that we've done at the Greater Jackson Arts Council, or maybe some of the things that we're known for is a better way to say that. We have been able to introduce our mission, which is the value in diversity by increasing cultural access and opportunities through grant offerings, special events, artist support, venue management, arts marketing, and community engagements. Maybe some of our agency's flag chapel services that we offer are the Cultural Grants Program, which provide direct financial supports to art organizations, independent artists, K-12 schools and colleges and social groups and neighborhood artists. We also offer a quality of life program that is designed to enhance the image of Jackson as it progresses. And we've been doing that for a very long time. So we do digital content. We have 13 mini documentary series out. We spotlight cultural positivity. We have national speakers series that come in, and it's a free broad audience keynote event for community interactions. We have our well-known public art projects that we manage and fund, which is one that is well-known is the Welcome to Jackson Downtown Mural. And, of course, the Obama Mural that is on Obama Magnet. And a lot of the downtown businesses and organization knows us best or knows our programming best for the Food Truck Friday. And so we're excited about that as well. And of course, you know, we do programs within the Art Center downtown where we are housed. So
wonderful. Well, I'm gonna ask you to break down some of those throughout our conversation, but thanks for giving people a sense. And you're located in the Arts Center, which is in downtown Jackson, and just describe for people kind of where that is if they're imagining Jackson, where your actual office is.
So we are right in between the Jackson Convention Center and opposite section of the planetarium that is being renovated, and we're right in front of the Mississippi Museum of Arts. So a lot of people get us confused, but we're next door neighbors to the Mississippi Museum of Arts, and right behind us is the also famous Thormeyer Hall.
Right, Thalia Mar is right behind you. Right, so if anyone comes to Jackson or lives in Jackson, you know where the Museum of Art is and all those landmarks that Sabrina just mentioned. And the Art Center is basically on the other side of the Art Garden.
Yeah, and then also, Melanie, just for our new reference, we just did a mural on the back of our building, which is a big crit mural. Mm-hmm. Who is one of our local artists from Mississippi. And so we're happy to house that. And so that's kind of now our landmark on how we let people know how to find our building.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, I just played some big crit music on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, so I want to break down again some of these programs. Let's talk a little bit about the Creative Empowerment Series. So I know that's kind of been on hold, COVID, but just tell our audience a little bit about that and what that looks like, what it has looked like, and kind of where your thoughts are on it right now.
So Creative Empowerment has been a really signature piece for Greater Jackson Arts Council. We've had a lot of great series or signature pieces around national known artists that have participated in our series. But here's what we're looking at now. We found that the Gathering Places, of course, COVID has completely shattered what that looks like. But we've also looked at how we can bring in some cultural creative pieces that will begin on our teachable platform. So we're hoping to connect with a platform that would allow us to have that virtual connection. Also having some range of social distancing meetings that will also require people to engage in person. I think what we're doing now is looking at how impactful that has been for different for the tone of Jackson, and just speaking to the audience and cultural Jackson, and it has been very effective. And so what we want to do is we want to look back at that and see now what those conversations are, and be able to at our national audience, or at our audience, to a national speaker that will speak to the current events or what is happening now. And we've been excellent at that in the past, and I think we're going to continue that. And with some of the feedback that we've heard from our audience and the folk that are in Jackson and Hinds County, and some people have visited all around the state, and so we've heard feedback from them that they are missing that kind of interaction. So we want to make sure that when we come back with that, that it is going to be one of the most talked about events and series in the state that is relevant to what is happening now in the country, and of course in Jackson, Mississippi.
Well, and I think you guys have also done a wonderful job in the past of that event not just being the luncheon itself, right?
Right.
I remember when Piper Kerman came, and then she also went with you guys and went to some of the, I guess, one of the jails, and, you know, did some work there.
Yeah.
And so I think you guys have done a really good job of not just saying, like, we have this luncheon, you know,
absolutely,
and we have
absolutely
this national speaker, right? But there's a communal part to it as well, a community aspect.
And there's always a strategy for those things. So none of the projects that we've done in the past are just a one and done. They are a continuation of our conscious work that we're hoping to share with the broader audience. As you mentioned about the Piper piece, she did travel to the prison, and of course she was in prison, so she definitely related. And I know I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but one of the things that we are doing is looking back at those pieces and seeing how we can continue to build the cultural effects that we would have in the city of Jackson. So we're in the works of talking to a couple of different artists about a prison portion that would allow arts to be a big part of the prison. Actually, we supported it in a financial grant, and so we're looking at how we can build that to be a programmatic piece that will continue to support and highlight the work that we did with Piper.
Right. That completely makes sense and is really in line with the work you guys have been done, have been doing and will continue to do. That's really encouraging to hear. I want to jump off that and ask you a little bit more about some of the things you guys have had to adapt to during COVID. I know you have several things you could talk about. I want to ask you specifically about the food distributions. Can you tell me and those listening what you guys have been doing to kind of speak to the moment and speak to the need in that way?
Absolutely. We have during this pandemic, we wanted to make sure that we were asking ourselves some really quick questions. So we sat down with our board and some of our committee members just to talk about in this last year, we had to ask ourselves some really, really big questions, like how can we pivot and become more relevant to what is happening right now in the community. And so when we did that, we focused a lot on our programs that we have with our middle school students and their families, and we kind of pulled them a little bit to kind of help us understand what that looks like. And they were really a influential piece on where we should be going. So we just decided that we wanted to help not only our families with the food distribution, but we also wanted to reach out to our artist community and find out what their issues were as we're pivoting to that. And so the food distributions are a really big part of that, but the part that the food distributions do for us as an organization, it allowed us to partner and call on all of our partners and facilitate what that looks like as it relates to helping people. We found out that Mississippi only has one food bank in the entire state that distributes out to other food distribution organizations. And so that is a lot of heavy lifting for the entire state. And so we decided that, and most of the time those pieces are predicated on your income. But we noticed that some of our residents were working class people that still had their jobs, but had gaps of funding or resources. And so we wanted to just be able to create an opportunity for them to participate in meeting their needs without having to answer the income question. I think everybody has been forgiven about resources being lacked at this time, but feeding folks and providing an opportunity for them to have access to good quality food was very important to us. And so we reached out to some partners and decided that we were going to participate. The city of Jackson access to partner with them on water giveaway. And we were like, sure, absolutely. We know that's not necessarily what an arts council do, but we thought that the art of giving was most important right now in this time where everyone is suffering from trying to rebound from what our economies have afforded us. No one asked for these situations and circumstances. And certainly we wanted to be responsible in doing our part to participate in that.
Well, on the topic of kind of focusing on, you know, hunger and health and fitness as kind of something that people may view as living on the outskirts of the arts, and you have really done a great job, and the Arts Council has done a great job of integrating those two things and continuing to look at how to integrate those things. So I wanted to ask you about the Keith Haring Fitness Court.
And
the work you guys have done with that, and it's so exciting. As someone who goes to the Children's Hospital often, I'm so excited about the location and that space. So please tell our listeners about that fitness court.
Where we are, that is one of the signature pieces that we have coming out of GJAC for our 40th year. It's going to speak to most of the things that we've been talking about as we look at our mission statement and kind of focus on cultural experiences. And like you just said, connecting the arts to all things. We see art as a way to communicate, you know, and so for us, right now, health is a big part of that. We have been locked up in our houses and trying to figure out how to stay healthy as far as exercise and movement is concerned. And having a piece of artwork that gives you that visual effect is going to motivate that movement for us. And this Keith Haring piece is just that. We're in love with the location as well. We wish that we could spread the love over the entire city of Jackson with these signature artistic pieces with this Keith Haring piece. But we felt like a start would be at the location right in front of the Children's Hospital, and we're excited about that. It is going to be a national piece. Actually, we're expecting to break ground this summer. We're excited that it not only provides for us a great piece that marries the fitness health industry with the arts, but also that our community will have a safe place to kind of get out there and exercise. It's near Belhaven's community. And then the children that are at the hospital can look out of their windows and see such a transformation from just having just a blank space there. We're excited to have on sponsorships from the Jackson Heart Study and all of the things that they're going to be doing with us. We're going to build out programmings that are around, that surrounds fitness in that area. But we're just going to have some Saturday mornings, pop-ups. And Melanie, you and I talked about before our break how we were going to get more active and exercising downtown. We will be able to do that. There's going to be programming where we have fitness trainers that are going to come out and say, hey, this is a pop-up today. We just wanted everybody to come out and exercise. And so to give us some kind of training on the equipment and everything that is out there. So we're excited about all of the new facades that is going to be happening with that Keith Haring piece. But not only that, that we're getting the community engaged again in what health looks like using the art. So we're excited about that. I know I can use a breath of fresh air as it relates to my health and fitness routine. And I know that this Keith Haring piece is going to do just that for the community.
And an excellent thing, you know, with the weather turning warmer and people, as we talked about, kind of dipping their toe back into being with people. And what a great outside experience in which to do that as well. Hi, I'm Melody Moody Thortis, and you're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast. You can also hear the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. To hear all our conversations with creative Mississippians, be sure to subscribe to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast on your favorite podcasting app.
Contractor ever tell you the price of something and it sounds so high you think, maybe I'll try it myself. Some jobs just aren't that difficult, and yes, you can do it. If you want to find out how to do those things, listen to Fix It 101, podcast everywhere.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
You're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour on MPB Think Radio. Each week on the Arts Hour, representatives from the Mississippi Arts Commission speak with different creative Mississippians. Today I'm speaking with Sabrina Wright, Executive Director of the Greater Jackson Arts Council. So, Sabrina, before the break, we were talking about the Arts Council's approach to integrating the arts with other parts of need. And I want to talk to you about your passion for that kind of work. So specifically, I'm thinking about some intersections between the arts and social justice. Tell me a little bit about, I know that's a big topic, tell me a little bit about the things you're thinking about around that topic and things you're passionate about around that topic.
So yes, we as we're coming into a new, new energies that the Greater Jackson Arts Council wants to project to the greater community, we're looking at how the intersection of art and culture, and as a means for justice, and so that's for us is a lot of things. You know, this is when issues such as labor rights, housing access, environmental justice, prison abolitions, community violence, displacements, and other issues, you know, facing Jackson or other oppressed communities, serves as a voice that creates a pathway into artwork, performance, and projects, and artistic expression. Because, you know, that's the way we communicate our story to the wider community. So it's natural as a piece for as we look at social justice and things that are happening in and around our communities, most of our artists normally come to us with projects about how to express them. That social justice work, I mean. So we're excited to be able to support that work, but we want to get more involved in the building of what that looks like on a different perspective. We have had conversations, a series that we are working on called The State of Race, way before race. Well, I think race has always been a topic, but before it became the number one priority of our speaking to communities, and a number one priorities in the overall universal voice for folk that are oppressed. It has always been a topic of conversation. We never not talk about it. It happens at our kitchen tables. It happens everywhere. It's the conversation that we have. But speaking to the solutions of what that looks like is more of what we want to move into for social justice, for the social justice work that we're looking to do in the community. Recently, we were able to have a ton of artists apply for a particular piece that that talked about voting rights, just to promote the voting rights of Jacksonians and Hinds County residents in and around the city. And so we partnered that with some local artists. They were able to create these special pieces during the national presidential election. When I tell you they were some powerful pieces, they were some very, very powerful pieces. So much so that we have committed some of them to Jackson State, Tougaloo, Alcorn, and one we have right out in front of our building that still displays that kind of work, that the urgency of voting and not telling people how to vote, but just saying participate. Make your voice become a part of our community again. And so that's what those pieces are about. I want to say to that how important that is, because a lot of time when we talk about how people are investing in the community, our biggest investment that we can have is being involved in the local processes of voting. And so the average person that is not an artist or may not be necessarily involved in the arts community will see that as a billboard, but as a creative piece that came from a local heart.
So Brina, could you give us some examples of some of these intersections, some of the work that you've done to highlight the work of people working in the areas of social justice and how you've used the art to do that?
So we've been able to do a lot of creative pieces, and one of the things that we're focused on the most is not necessarily the struggle of what social justice looks like, but amplifying the voices of having real solutions and keeping that in front of our regular everyday citizens and city leaders, folk that are making decisions about what justice looks like. So we wanted to make sure that our art work is a big part of that. So just recently during the national presidential election, we were able to commission some local artists to amplify the Vote Project. And we did that with the Humanitarians Council as well, in partnership with them. And we were able to amplify the voice of our everyday voters by using some names like Ruth Ginsburg, Judge Ruth Ginsburg. We were able to have a painting done with her, inspired by her. And we also had a painting inspired by John Lewis that hangs at Jackson State at the time. And we also had a piece that highlighted some of our HBCU practitioners like Megar Evers. And that is also a piece that is dedicated to Alcorn University. And so a Fannie Lou Hamer piece was done as well during the Promote the Vote. And Melanie, what's so great about that is that even now, since that piece was commissioned during the presidential election, and it holds true to our advocacy work for social justice, just getting people out to vote their own voices. But not only that, it also speaks to our new look at how we intersect art and culture, because what we wanted to do is to create creative economies for our artists that they can participate into new economies that are going to expand how they're able to make a living. And those pieces are now in talks of being purchased by the ACLU to be permanent pieces with them. So we were able to make the communications to connect with that. And so we just kind of created what we call the ecosystem of cultural experiences. And so now we have four local artists from the state of Mississippi right here in the area that will have their pieces purchased by the ACLU to become permanent fixtures in their mission to promote social justice and voting rights.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Well, I want to talk about, you know, our listeners are hearing your passion. You are an advocate, a champion for the arts, yes. A champion for, yes, social justice, and, yes, and how those two come together. So I want to ask you a little bit more about, you know, growing up and how you got to where you are now. So let's talk a little bit about Sabrina as a developing as you were growing up and in influences there. So you grew up in Camden, is that right?
I did. Camden, Mississippi. Right, a rural community right outside of Canton. And we're just some good people, good family people. I would say that growing up I had an experience very early about protecting your rights and being free to live your authentic selves. And so that has been a great part of who I am as a person. But I think that my work early on in getting into environmental justice work in the Louisiana parts kind of shaped my professional life and what that looks like. But I remember going back to growing up in Camden, we would always visit my grandmother's, and a lot of people are interested now in my story about my grandmother as she would begin to sing songs to us. And so she would sing these hymns, and that's not foreign to our cultural background, you know, old grandmothers singing hymns with their aprons on, making biscuits, you know, that's sort of the thing. But she would sing these hymns and like add our parents' names in them and you know, as a prayer or as a call out. And we just thought that, you know, she was just making these songs up. And then we started going to church and, you know, realized that these were real songs. And she just added our parents' name in it. And so, you know, she was doing remixes before the remixes were known.
Yes.
And so that really kind of shaped our interest. And I guess, you know, when you're able to resonate with songs, it kind of helps you. And so that's kind of where my personality and my love for songs and all of those things kind of came into play. So Camden is the place.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, really helped shape you. And then you had mentioned, you know, your work in environmental work, and I know you spent some time with the Environmental Protection Agency. Were you working in Louisiana during Katrina?
I was. Actually, we got moved to Louisiana because of Katrina, and that kind of shaped my passion. You know, I think I've always been passionate about whatever my beliefs are, but I think it helped me think outside of myself. Caring for others became an extremely important priority of mine. And it was because of that first experience with Hurricane Katrina. You know, one thing I can say, and I can attest to that work and now my today work, disasters are terrible. We hate them. But for communities that have had seen decades of disinvestment, it becomes the flattened ground for what movement looks like. It flattens everything. It gives a grounding place to make everything new again and to have vision again. Sometimes when you're in the process of the everyday back and forth of what things look like, and for oppressed communities that could mean so much turbulence, so many hazards and environmental issues that you probably couldn't solve before. But a disaster brings everybody attention to you, and it also brings attention to your problems. And so it gives you an opportunity to dream again and to vision again. And so after I started working in the project in Louisiana during Hurricane Katrina, you know, I noticed that oppression was more than just what it looked like in the community. It was a mindset. And so how do we shift that? We shift that through culture, and cultural shifts are pretty hard, but the one opportunity that a disaster have is making everybody equal again, and it gives you an opportunity to recover. And so, you know, those that are of influence will recover quickly, but those that have passion, that are connected to helping other people, will help other people recover and reach that hand out so that everyone can level up. So I'm excited about that kind of work, and that kind of passion has grown in me. So when there, I don't want to say this in a bad way or taking it out of context, but when there is a disaster, I normally get excited because it helps us to think again, to re-envision again. It helps people to get on a wavelength that can allow us to envision the community that we would like to live in. And it helps the cultural shift become a lot easier because we're not just talking to decision makers. Now we're talking to the everyday person that lost everything, and their opinion now matters again to the overall conversation. And so as Katrina began to rebuild again, I visited back to that space and was able to see brand new houses, new highways, where there were chemical plants that everyone were fighting over about how to remove them out of the community. They were flattened, no longer a conversation anymore, whether people could have clean air again. So those conversations were eliminated by a disaster, and people were able to have a dignified house again. Then the thoughts of how those houses should be built to sustain another 20, 30 years were a topic of conversation. So the aesthetics of the houses changed so that people could become more modern. And I was excited about that. Not that I don't like redeveloping old things, but I like when things are able to start fresh. And so we are able to start fresh and culturally depict what that community looked like with their input, all because of a disaster. And so the arts play a big part in that, because before you can build it, you have to imagine what it looks like. And so the arts help us communicate our imagination in ways that will, this country has been built on for ancient ages. And so I'm excited that the arts can now become the focal point of the conversation and not necessarily taking the backseat of that. So when we tell our story, we want everyone to know that art has always been at the intersection of all things culture. We just need to tell that story properly, because I'm invested in what the imagination looks like, because when it becomes manifested, everybody else can enjoy it. And that's what art is about, having people to enjoy the spaces that we live, work, and we call community.
Hi, I'm Melody Moody Thordis, and you're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast. You can also hear the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. To hear all our conversations with creative Mississippians, be sure to subscribe to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast on your favorite podcasting app.
Hi, I'm Walt Grayson. You can now listen to the wild, weird, and wonderful stories of Mississippi with Mile Marker.
Slowly, we started, you know, picking these turtles up and saving them.
I'll stop traffic, grab one out of the road.
And then our friends found out, and our vet would call us.
Join me as we hit the roads of Mississippi on Mile Marker.
We are now a full-fledged nonprofit turtle rescue.
You can listen by going to mpbonline.org/radio or by using your favorite podcasting app. Mile Marker, a Mississippi Roads podcast.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
You're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Melody Moody Thordis, and today I'm speaking with Sabrina Wright, Executive Director of the Greater Jackson Arts Council. Before the break, Sabrina and I were talking about the intersections of the arts and social justice and the importance of input from the community that you're working with. And so, Sabrina, I want to ask you about in your new tenure of as Executive Director of the Greater Jackson Arts Council, your ideas for visions for listening to the community and getting to know what the needs and desires are of the people you're working with.
Yes, Melanie, we're excited to cast out our new vision for GJAC as we're trotting along from these national pandemics that we've experienced, these local pandemics that have exploded for the communities. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to take some time and just listen. We feel that we all have problems and challenges that we're trying to solve within our civic and social justice work. But I think that art and artists and creatives are underutilized tools that should be in toolkits of every industry, from public education to health systems and transportation. We feel that, but we feel also that we haven't heard from that industry on how they are leading in their work. So we want to take the time out to just listen. Listen to artists, listen to industry leaders, listen to thought creators, to cultural leaders. We want to listen to everyone, the moms and pops that are sitting down with their kids, the folk from the neighborhood. We just want to listen. We want to listen and take in all of that information. So I have been on listening tours since early part of February, listening to the greater community on art sectors and just on their art sector experiences, and also how we measure that in the community now. What does that look like for the priorities that our communities have, and how art can inspire that, how art is participating in that, and who are their cultural experiences. What are their cultural experiences that they're having, and who are the folk that are they're connecting that to their communities? And so we're listening. We're just listening right now to everyone and everything. And we're responding as well. My first two listening tours have been exciting. I mean, when I say listen, we're not talking, we're just digesting. The context of how we're listening is we want to be able to inspire, we want to be able to put some action steps together that will guide our strategic process and our vision for the community as we're looking at how to rebuild, how to restore, how to make things livable again, how to connect to our communities again, how do we express our livability in our spaces, and then how do we have fun? How are our experiences with joy? How are our experiences with giving? You know, what are those experiences that we would like to have in our communities again? And so we're listening. Our first group of listening tours was dedicated to African-American doctors, female doctors, which was a great, great series. You're going to hear so much from that as time goes on from their listening tours that they share with us about how doctors are being creative and using the arts to decompress. You know, we don't think about that, but doctors are really invested in what our health systems have been exploded on, or what has been exploded on our health systems in this time. Doctors are really invested in that, and their times are consumed more than ever. And so it was very, very interesting to me to learn that our doctors are participating in the arts just so that they can have some comfort, bring them joy, shift their minds to community and become more active and involved. And so not only that, their encouragement of how to use the arts, the mental health that they are focused on their patients and themselves, and that self-care that we talk about so much that is so important, that COVID has brought back to our high priority, our number one priorities is how we care for ourselves. And these doctors helped us understand what that looks like. So we're really, really listening. And I'm so thankful to our board member, who our board president is Dr. Lori Marshall. And she was able to curate that group of doctors for us that has expressed so much. So we're excited about that. And we have a couple of more that we're curating, listening tours, that is, so that we can hear from the greater community on how we bridge connections and creating workforce development opportunities. And not only that, how we just become invested in the community. During the break, I shared with you about a project that we're working on with the local school that it doesn't necessarily look like an artistic piece, but we're infusing the art into that piece to make sure that the children and the families in that community in West Jackson are appreciated and know that they're appreciated. So they're becoming the art for us, and we're using West Jackson as the canvas.
What would you say, you know, because this show, The Arts Hour, has a statewide reach through our partners at MPB, what would you say to people out there who want to share their thoughts, who want to, if you will, be listened to, whether they identify as artists or not, and their ears perked up and they said, well, I really want to be part of these conversations. How would you recommend that they get involved with your organization and to be part of some of those future curated listening sessions?
Well, you can follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page that is very inactive, and we just expanded our mission statement to expand our reach across the state of Mississippi. So we're definitely interested into hearing feedback and also involvement in anyone across the state on how we could be of help. And we are curating a best practice for what this looks like after we've done the practice and the work. We definitely want to be able to pass this along to other communities, because one thing about Jackson is the hub of governing, which means that everyone in this state at some point in their life have to participate into the Jackson community. And they are a big part of what that Jackson community look like as well. And so helping them become invited into the rebuild of our strategic process is definitely something that we look forward to hearing about and look forward for them to participate in, because we value what the artistic role and culture of Jackson should be, since the cultural of government, like I said, has such an influence on every person in this state, whether you're from the coast or from the Delta. Jackson is the place to participate in all government because our capital it is our capital city. So we want to make sure that folk that are not necessarily from Jackson can participate in what we're doing here at the Greater Jackson Arts Council. And you can do that by our Facebook, which is Greater Jackson Arts Council, our Instagram, or on our website. Our website is still being developed, redeveloped, I should say. But there is an option on there where you can add comments. It's the Greater Jackson Arts Council. .com. That's the Greater Jackson Arts Council.com. And you can just go in there and make some comments and feedback, and we will make sure that we're attentive to them. And just for me personally, if there are some connections that you would like to have with me directly, you can email me at Silbrina, SILBRINA, at Greater Jackson Arts Council.com. That's Silbrina, SILBRINA, at Greater Jackson Arts Council.com.
Hi, I'm Melody Moody Thordis, and you're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast. You can also hear the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. To hear all our conversations with creative Mississippians, be sure to subscribe to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast on your favorite podcasting app.
On Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, you get information about foods you should eat to stay in good health and tips on how to stay active. I'm Dr. Josie Bidwell, host of Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, an associate professor of preventive medicine at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. Listen to the show every Monday at 11 or subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy with your preferred podcasting app.